Okay, Daisy's recording. Judy's on the other end of the line.
Oh, yes.
I'm here.
Oh, yes.
You're there. You're ready and waiting. We haven't got a musical introduction this week, Judy.
There's Why not?
Well, you know, last week we had some ukulele and all that sort of thing.
Oh, yes, so, I see what you mean. No special. No customised. Special, no.
I think we should put the call out for maybe some recorder playing. We've had ukuleles. I've been a bit sort of reticent on the ukulele front, but I've come around to it
indeed.
A bit.
Yes.
I think it's
indeed.
Therapeutic, and in these difficult mm-hmm. times, anything mm-hmm. that helps you out is fine. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't mind some recorder playing from the gang. Thank you very much indeed. That's my request for now. Anyway, I haven't talked to you for a week, Judith, over a week.
It feels ages since I've spoken to you. Welcome back after your holidays. How was it?
Well,
Jenny?
Judith, I'm not going to say it wasn't without its difficulties. That's all I'm going to say for starters.
Yeah,
I knew. You know what it's like with the new smartphone? Once upon a time, you go away on holiday and you had no idea. You didn't have a clue what lay in store because you didn't have a smartphone. You just went with optimism in your heart. You thought it might be sunny, it might be nice. Hey, let's pack, you know, all the things, the swimming things and the towels and the snorkels and all that, because we're going to have fun on the beach. The trouble with having a smartphone is about a week before you go on your holiday, you start looking, don't you? Say, I'm not going to look, I'm not going to look. It doesn't really matter. We're going to have a lovely time anyway. But you find yourself tapping in your destination and it comes up and all you can see is 5 days solid rain. And we were only away for 5 days. Oh. Rain. So that put me in a bit of a mood.
Indeed.
We had several holidays in one, Judith. I'll just run you through our itinerary. Do the snore law if you get bored.
there's sort of Schadenfreude is sort of kicked in to an extent, so I'm not going to go into snore law yet. But yeah, go on.
Well, I've not really started, but I have a horrible feeling I could get a bit dull about this. So the first step of our holiday was meeting my friend, beautiful Frances from drama school, and her partner, Steve, at Hauser & Wirth, the art gallery in Somerset.
I have been there.
Yes, it's got a very good restaurant, very, very good. And we booked the restaurant so that we'd be outside. Yeah. But of course, you know, when we got there, teeming down with rain. I mean, absolutely split skies. It was just vomiting rain. It was just regurgitating rain. It was just puking rain on our heads. So anyway, they fortunately put up this kind of gazebo-ish kind of, marquee kind of thing attached that.
So we could
be outside, but undercover, very clever.
Right. Knowing that place, it was probably a very stylish gazebo.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. And they took our temperatures, Judith.
Did they?
Yes.
Bloody hell, that's impressive.
Yeah,
that
we sat
impressive.
Down and before they bought us, you know, a lot of the places nowadays want you to download the menu on an app.
Oh, how tedious.
Oh, it's
really?
Hard work. It's quite hard work. Yes,
we're
getting better.
Why do you have to
do
that?
Because they don't want menus in grubby hands, do they now?
Oh, my God.
Every time they give a menu, doesn't matter if it's laminated or not, it has to be wiped down, sterilised, all that kind of thing. Gone are the day of the grubby old menu.
Well, why can't they just bring you a blackboard like they used to do in old-fashioned bistros with
Judy.
A bloody chalk on it?
Oh,
There's an idea.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, I might send them an email later. I might send them an email saying my friend Judy suggested. The exhibition was okay, but I'd seen a lot of the Don McCulloch photographs before. But anyway, even so, we had a lovely, lovely lunch and it was lovely. It was really, had a great catch up. And Frances has got a new grandson. And, you know, I saw photos of his little fat baby hands. Yeah. Sorry, Judith. Some women of our age are getting grandchildren.
Yes.
Some are getting dogs. Okay. So we'll pull away from that. So Jeff and I were heading for Bude in Cornwall. But, you know, it's a long way and we'd seen our friends. And so we stopped off at an Airbnb in Somerset on the way. Now, I'm not going to slag this off because there was actually nothing wrong with it. It looked exactly as it did on the website. What I hadn't got my head around was the dimensions of it. Has this ever happened to you, Judith, where you've chosen a place which looks completely normal and actually is completely normal, but it's so small, it's just like... just like kind of getting into it. Was okay, it was a poshly converted garage.
What,
it
was that was your room, you mean? Yeah. Your room was a poshly converted
This Airbnb, but not a big garage, not a double garage. You couldn't, you could have only fitted like a very, very small car in this garage.
Oh, yes, that does sound a bit grim. And was it still raining?
Oh, Judith, it was that rain where we parked the car outside the garage. Obviously, we couldn't park the car in the garage because we were sleeping in the garage. And just getting from the car into the garage, saturated, you know, wet through to your pants, you know, like that.
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah. I bet morale was low.
It was pretty low at this point.
Oh, dear.
And then we realised that because the garage was so bijou, it didn't actually have any cooking facilities. Well, it had a toaster in the cupboard and a microwave hung on the wall like a picture.
What, like a picture that you could bump your head on?
Yeah, well, it was beautifully done. I'm not slagging it off. I'm really not.
Right,
but
right.
It wasn't very practical. So anyway... there was nothing we could do and there was nowhere we could go because it just rained and rained and rained. So, and you know us, we haven't got any wet weather gear, Judith. You'd have been fine.
No,
you'd put on some very ugly sandals and just walked out.
Yeah, you've got those soggy, stupid cotton things, pumps, haven't you?
You know, I've just got some pumps.
Right, okay.
Though I did take some leather boots as well. I did try, but I just couldn't be arsed by this point. So we lay on this bed because we couldn't walk around it. There was nowhere to walk around. We just had to sit on the bed.
Oh, Jenny.
And we watched this Will Ferrell film, which I think if I hadn't been on the verge of hysteria, I'd have probably hated. It's the Will Ferrell film about the Eurovision Song Contest.
Was it
good?
Do
you know what? You have to be feeling very mental before... Well, that's fine. If you're feeling sort of slightly giddy with madness and need something that kind of matches that mood... then I do recommend it. If you're feeling quite normal and sane, you will think it's just fucking stupid.
It's unlikely, isn't it? so, Jenny, the picture that you put on the gang notice board on Instagram, was that the picnic in the garage? Was that something else?
No, Judith, I really think we're going to get Snorlaw coming in very soon here. But that was night one of the holiday.
Right.
Night two, we get to Bude.
Yeah.
And we're in this hotel and it looked like a hairdresser's salon. There was a lot of sort of white pleather.
Oh, Jenny, I can see your face is dropping.
Yeah,
and visualise it.
I don't mind white leather. I can't really be doing with metallics in a feature wall. That actually really does set off a bit of a design migraine. And poor Jeff, who's wearing dark glasses, he couldn't take them off. But there were fake flowers.
I was just going to ask you, that's also Buffon curtains by any chance?
No, it was modern styly. It was like 90s styly.
Oh, God, Jenny.
But they had big, big displays of false flowers, of plastic flowers. And that's just, I can't. It's July into August. There are flowers. There are sunflowers. There are snapdragons. There are dahlias. There are agapanthus. It's been a good year for the agapanthus,
yes,
Judith.
Hasn't
it's been
it
a
just?
Very good
yes,
year.
Yes.
There is no reason. I'd rather no flowers. Or there are succulents. There are different things you can do. You do not need to have fake flowers in what is apparently, you know, a posh hotel. Anyway, the restaurant was shut, Judith. And I knew that before I set off, even though I hadn't known it at the time of booking.
Oh,
they'd sent a confirmation
God.
Thing with, a, you know, our restaurant because due to COVID,
right.
blah, blah. So it's raining, Judith. It's raining. We're in Bude. It's Sunday night. We've never been to Bude before. We can't see that it's nice because it's just a bit too rainy. And so we set off about 6:30 to see if we can find anywhere, you know, nice to eat.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we just walk in the wrong direction. We just keep taking the wrong turn.
Sorry.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, most places have got the good bit and then the shit bit.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And it was like endlessly walking, you know, like Tottenham Court Road, the shit bits of Tottenham Court Road, but obviously not because you're in Cornwall. It doesn't look anything like that. But it's just all very, very small Chinese takeaways and Indian takeaways and a few fish and chip shops. There's nowhere to sort of eat. And by this point, you know, because I'm wearing stupid shoes, they're wet. I say to Jeff, this is ridiculous. Let's just go back and have a picnic on the bed. So we found a co-op, Judith. We found a co-op that was open on a Sunday night.
Oh, God.
I went in there. Jeff obviously wasn't allowed in because only one at a time. Yeah. I went in there with my soggy mask on and, had a bit of a treat shop around
the
co-op.
What about room service? Was that
no!
available?
No, there was no room service. They weren't offering anything. No, they
dear
weren't.
Dear me.
And the bedroom, Judith, you couldn't have coped at all because the windows, I know what you're like for a window. You need a window. You're
I do need
out
a window.
Kind of
I do.
Girl.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
The glass in the windows were frosted over because obviously the view was so hideous.
Oh, my goodness.
Because we were at the
goodness.
Back of the hotel. And they had those plantation shutters up, basically discouraging you to do anything. Don't look. Basically, they were screaming, don't look. Don't look out these fucking windows because basically you're just overlooking guttering.
Oh, God, yeah. Jenny.
Were lovely. The staff were great. Yeah. They were really, really, really nice. It was not their fault. I'm a snotty cow. I wanted more because we haven't been away since last year.
Yeah.
It was wrong. We chose the wrong place. So we booked another holiday somewhere else.
What do you mean? You just abandoned ship?
Yeah.
Oh, very good idea. Yeah. Very, very, very good decision, Jenny. Yeah. Don't blame That's you. Done. Don't blame you.
To give the hotel their credit, they managed to resell the room to somebody obviously not as difficult as us, and they gave us all the money back. So thank you very much. Yes.
Oh, that's really
decent. It's a decent hotel. It's just that it wasn't what I wanted. I wanted something posh. We left that holiday, Judith. We just abandoned. We abandoned ship, and we went somewhere that I love very dearly in Foy and had two blissful days.
Oh, that's
absolutely
nice.
Absolutely blissful days. And the restaurant was open and they couldn't have been more charming or more helpful. I mean, we got the last bedroom in the hotel. We were up in the attic.
Gosh. I'm feeling your relief as you walked in. I'm feeling it. I can sense it.
My shoulders dropped by about 18
did
inches.
They? Did yeah. they? And of course, the sun came out, which was no accident, was it? I mean, actually, the two happened at once, as I understand.
It was just all of a sudden. It was just a completely different holiday, and we were just. Well, I was very happy. I was very happy for 48 hours. And then we had a very, very long drive home.
Well, we're supposed to be going to France, but I must say the idea of getting on you. Yeah, well, you know, it's a sort of much delayed and postponed holiday with the girls.
Oh, Judith, I didn't know. Are you driving? Yeah.
Well, no. We're on the Eurostar. But the more I think about going on the Eurostar, I'm now starting to visualise what I might wear. And it started, obviously, with a mask and a lot of sanitizer, and it's kind of graduated up to the point where I looked at the garden goggles that I do the lawn mowing in, and I thought, well, OK, I might wear the goggles, I might wear the masks, I've got the...
You could wear sunglasses, which would give your eyes a bit of protection.
Yeah, yeah. No, but the goggles that you do the lawn, you know, they're sort of, they're closed, you know, they're kind of, so they're quite...
Well, what about your swimming goggles?
Yes, I could do the swimming goggles, yes. I suppose I could, really. But, I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it, that it's come to this, really, that you start to think that you might not be able to get on, like, a train for a few
days. Well, I'm too
frightened.
I've got to wait for my sister to take me to see my mum again because... you know, she's in Lancashire, and a lot of East Lancashire now has gone back into, you know, proper lockdown.
Yep.
And so I don't want to take a train up that end of the country.
I don't blame you.
You know, I'm waiting for our Sarah to give me the green light, and then we're in her Skoda again. Oh,
hey. So how is your mum? Is she all right?
She's fine. There are elements of forgetfulness, but, you know, Jeff's as bad, really, to be quite honest with you, Judith. I mean, there's things I could say about him.
We're surrounded by them, aren't we? We're surrounded by them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's gone off again without his antibacterial gel. It's there on the kitchen table.
Oh, God, don't tell me about that. Yeah, and Mike's forever going out without his mask. We get into the car. He said, well, where's your mask? Oh, I thought it was in the other car. I mean, for fuck's sake, they're not as good as we are they? I mean, they're just not.
You've got to have masks everywhere.
Yeah,
you've got to have masks in your glove compartment.
Yep.
You've got to have masks in your pockets. You've got to have
handbags.
Masks. I've got my pandemic pouch, Judith. I'm well sorted out. I want to get on now to your birthday, Judith. You had a birthday whilst I was having my holidays.
Yes, I did. I did. Yeah. Lovely day, Jenny. Lovely.
Was it not pissing down with rain?
Pissed down with rain, but you know, we sort of fought on through it. We bought a gazebo, like that posh gallery. Yes, I don't know why it's taking me this long to buy a gazebo. Big barbecue on the top of the fire pit. Yeah, very nice. You know, talking squid, all sorts of lovely things.
No.
Yes, squid on the barbecue. Highly recommend that.
Who did that? Did Mike do that?
No, Aaron was in charge of the barbecue. He's very, very practical. Don't trust Mike with a barbecue. But doesn't put enough charcoals in. That's the trouble with Mike and barbecues.
Okay. So this is one of your daughter's boyfriends in charge of... Oh, God, Aaron, he just goes up and up in my estimation. Not only is he ridiculously good looking, he can do squid on a barbecue.
Yeah. No, very good, very good. So, yeah, absolutely pissed down. And so
charcoal squid. I fucking love it.
It was really, really nice. So we moved the fire pit in, you know, we had to lean in a bit, you know, and then we moved the table inside as well. But that was okay. And we had the barbecue and then... stopped raining, we lifted the fire pit out and the stars came out. Lovely clear night. Campfire fun
God,
and
this
chat.
This birthday went on a bit. You mean it was like daytime into nighttime?
Yeah, it was quite... I stayed up until about 12 o'clock, which for me, oh my God.
Yeah.
It was very nice, very nice. I had some nice presents. My best present was James bought me, because I asked him, he bought me some
this
paddles.
This is another daughter's boyfriend. Oh, yes. No, son-in-law. This
son-in-law,
is married
proper
one.
Son, yeah, proper, proper son-in-law. Yeah, yeah. So James, the son-in-law, bought me a pair of paddles for my hands for when I swim around the lake, okay?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They're sort of like, because
I've seen them, they're hideous. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're sort of the really serious swimmers that go down and go around. Yeah,
they're the sort of thing that immediately a swim puts them on and go, oh, fuck off, that's cheating.
Actually, I don't know whether you're even allowed to put them in the pool. Anyway, so I've got my flippers on now. Got my flippers. I've got my hat. I've got my hand paddles so that I can get round in less than about
half
an hour
woman,
and a half.
Half boat.
Yeah. I mean, oh my God! I tell you what, I reminded myself of, and it is. When you were little, did you have in cornflake packets those sort of divers, and you used to like plastic diver toys? And used to wind them up and put them in the bath and they used to swim round. Did you have those?
Yeah, they sort of jet-propelled themselves. A bit like that time you farted in the lake and you jet-propelled yourself across the water.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
do you know what? I got my friend Liz to take a photograph of me because I thought I might put it on the gang notice board, this photo of me in all my outfit looking like a diver thing.
Yeah.
Oh, Jenny.
Is it bad?
I have... Bad doesn't even cover it. But tell you what was bad, what was really bad. What has happened to my tits? Honestly, they have dropped about, I think they've dropped about six inches. They are now.
No, I'm not going to let you do this because I think what's possibly happened is that your swimsuit has probably had so much wear and tear that it's lost all its elasticity. So you're not being given any help. Oh, you're not being given any support around the tit area by your swimming costume.
I think you're very kind. But
I wouldn't panic yet. I'd think about a new swimsuit.
Well, I think I might need to wear it. Yes, I think I might need a proper bra under the swim. Oh, no, it's bad. It's bad.
But anyway, I bought you a present, didn't I?
You did. Thank you very much. You bought me some sunblock, which... Well, it was obviously... Well, it's very sensible. Very, very sensible. What
I bought
you're
you
saying
some,
is...
some factor 50 because you don't take care of your face. And I did this for a reason, Judith, and I'm going to tell our gang.
Yeah.
Because I've got health news. I passed my bowel cancer test.
Good.
Very pleased to say. I don't know whether I mentioned that
was
before.
Was it graded? Was it graded or was it just a pass?
It was just a pass. I was hoping for a distinction, but
indeed.
I didn't, you know. And it didn't come with any... It didn't come with a certificate or anything because I thought maybe... I could frame that. But then I, about a month ago, I got this thing on my lip, which looked like a cold sore. And I thought, well, that's funny. I've never had a cold sore before. It's weird getting cold sores at 60. You know, it's not like I've been in the park snogging strangers. And
unlikely.
And then everyone who saw it said, oh, yes, it looks like a cold sore. And it was just a few days before the Older and Wider menopause book came out. So I had a bit of press to do and I got a bit sort of het up about it. But so I went on the internet, didn't I? Of course I did, because that's what we all do. Yeah. And I got some antiviral tablets from an online pharmacist. You had to fill in a form. Mm. And Bob's your uncle. They came very quickly, Judith, and it went down almost immediately. So I thought, well, it is a cold sore. Mm. And then I finished it off with some TCP and I did this telly thing and you could barely see it. I mean, I'd covered it with makeup and all that sort of thing.
How big? Size of what?
Oh, teeny tiny. We're talking the size of a pinhead.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, or three pinheads sort of in a little cluster, like a little cluster of three pinheads, like a sort of slightly ulcery. Like that, yeah.
Right, okay.
So I just thought, well, that's that. And I dried it up with a TCP and I thought, well, that's done and dusted. And then it came back. And when it came back, it really fucking hurt. It really tingled to the point that it was waking me up in the night. It was really kind of, and I just thought, no, this is alarm bells.
Shingles.
This isn't right.
Sounds like shingles, really. I think I'm thinking about shingles.
So, but shingles doesn't normally happen on the lip. It's usually around your side, isn't it? And on your back. But I don't know. I mean, I've had chicken pox, so quite could have been, whatever. So I phoned my GP. And have you seen your GP since lockdown?
No, I haven't, no.
Nobody has. Have you had a face-to-face FaceTime call?
I've had telephone conversations. Had a couple of telephone calls, but I haven't had a FaceTime. Oh, did you have a Zoomy thing with the...
FaceTime. So I phoned the surgery and I described, you know, what was going on. And they said, well, obviously you can't come in. The doctor will FaceTime you. I thought, it's like a date. And I just so happened to be going round to see our mutual friend Emma Brunges and her little boy in her garden, socially distancing. So the doctor phoned me when I was round Emma's house in the garden. And it was very difficult because she's got builders next door. So I was having to scream at the doctor. The doctor was having to scream at me. Then I had to find a good light and, you know, push the phone right up to my lip so that he could have a look. So then he goes, oh, it's a cold sore.
Really?
And yeah, he said it's a cold sore. And I said, oh, well, I've never had one. He said, well, it looks like a cold sore. And I suggest you get this over-the-counter cream from any chemist and use that. So I did that. But after about 2 or 3 days, I thought, this is not right. You know, you get that gut instinct, don't you? I just thought, no, this is not good enough. You can't diagnose skin things over a fucking smartphone.
No.
I phoned our friend, the dermatologist in town at the London Dermatology Centre, and I had a face-to-face appointment. And by the time I got there, because it was 2 days later, it had obviously more or less disappeared, this thing. And I went into the dermatologist. I was wearing a mask and I said, I'm really sorry. I don't want you to be cross with me, but I think you're going to tell me off for wasting your time. And literally within 10 minutes, he was telling me that I've got pre-skin cancer changes on my face in not just one area. The lip one is the most dramatic, but there are a couple of others as well. I don't know where they are. He didn't, because, you know, otherwise I'd obsess. I mean, But he got me in a chair and he got a light on, a special light, a torch and a light and a magnifying thing, you know. Right. And that's what you need with skin.
Yeah, of course you do. Of course you do. Absolutely.
So, you know, it's just this.
Oh, Jenny, so how worrying is that? I mean, is this the sort of thing that kind of we all have as we age? And
well,
I think it's
very common. And I think, listen, I'm the fairest skinned person I know. I've got the skin tones of jellyfish.
Have.
I don't go
you
brown.
Have.
I mean, it's just one of those ridiculous things to attempt to do with me. It's kind of just don't bother. Just get in the shade, for fuck's sake, and wear a hat. But I think it's quite important that other people listening, if you have anything, any skin changes where you just think, not happy about this, just press a little harder with your GP. I'm very lucky because I've got savings and it was expensive to go to a dermatologist in the West End. Obviously it was, but to be quite honest, you know,
glad
300
you did.
Quid to
Absolutely.
Get the information I need, which is basically I have to use this gel stuff all over my face twice a day, and in 3 months' time when I go back, if that hasn't done the trick, then they'll have to sort of either freeze something off or dig it out or whatever. But you know, it will have to be something that's it'll have to be monitored, and that's not something that the NHS are able to offer, it doesn't seem, at the moment. So no. I was coming home from Cornwall and heard on the Radio 4 news that fucking Matt Hancock, who's our health secretary, was saying that this might be the way forward for the NHS, that the Zoom call might replace one-on-one consultations.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think that is what will happen, isn't it? Because it's so much cheaper and quicker, really. But yeah, thank goodness
she went. What a doctor's a doctor needs to see you. He needs to smell you. He needs to feel you. He needs to hear you. Mm. You know, there's also, it's an instinct with a doctor, and you've got to be there in the room with them a lot of the time. Mm. I mean, I don't know many things that actually can be diagnosed over the phone. Mm.
And I think with a lot of people, it's sort of several things as well, isn't it? I mean, I've got a friend who's a GP, and she says it's what people sometimes aren't telling you. But
yes, it's
of,
the third thing on the list. Exactly.
I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, that must have been a horrible moment, really. But thank God you went, and thank God you know what it is, and thank God he's on the case.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll be back in 3 months' time, and, you know, I'll just probably have a great big gouge out of my face, but, you know, it's better than the alternative. Mm. So there we go. Now, let's talk about Poppy. I forgot her name then, Jesus. I had to look at my notes.
Yes. She's doing very well. She went on a sleepover at the weekend.
No.
She did, to James and Sienna's. Yeah, she went on a sleepover with her little, you know, like a little changing bag with all bits of food in.
Yeah. And did they manage with her? Did they like it?
She did, although she fell into their pond, unfortunately. Yeah.
She could have drowned, Judith. Yeah, they're not really taking care of her, are they?
Wouldn't have happened on my watch, that's all I'm saying.
Thank God they haven't got a child.
Yeah. Yes, quite. I tell you what I'm going to try today is I've bought this thing that you put her in, and it's a thing for putting on the front of your bike, because I thought, well, it might be quite nice to go out on my bike with the puppy.
Yeah.
God, you know, and so I thought I might have a go at that. She could do four tricks, Jenny. Four now.
Last week it was only three. What can she do?
Going up. Yeah, it's all sausage driven, by the way. Yeah. Bits of sausage, obviously motivated.
Well, she's learning from the mistress.
Yes, exactly. She still likes me the best, by the way.
Good.
Likes me the best. Oh yes. She could do sit, obviously. Yeah. She can do stay.
Well, she's tired now and again. You have to, don't you? I'm not sure that's a trick, Judith. That's just a physical need. Okay, so she can sit. Big deal. Go on.
Yeah. She can. She can come to her name, which, you know, so you can play hide and seek with her in the garden and say, "Poppy, come." She comes.
And
she does stay. Now, this is impressive. This is impressive, given that she's only 9 weeks. She could do stay. So I do stay, and then I do take steps backwards, and then I say, "Poppy, come," and she does that. How about that?
I think she's very young. She hasn't learned to be disobedient yet.
Oh, well, do you know what I'm worried about? We go to our first puppy training session tomorrow. I think she might get in with the wrong crowd. If I'm not careful, she'll see some
Pebbles
bad behaviour.
Naughty Pebbles from
Naughty
the village.
Naughty Pebbles. All I hope is that we're in the top stream. Because if we're in the same stream as Pebbles, there's going to be trouble, I can tell you.
No hope. Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's going to be crufts for Poppy, is it?
Definitely crufts, yes. Okay. Yeah. And she could also do drop. Her fourth one is drop. And I'm very proud of myself because I worked it out. So basically, if she's got something in her mouth and you show her the sausage and say drop, obviously she drops it, doesn't she? Because she wants the sausage.
Yes, she wants the sausage.
She wants the sausage. How clever is that? So now she can do drop.
If she's
going
to go in for crufts, though, she can't just be called Poppy. You've got to give her some middle names.
Do you think?
Yeah, she's got to be Princess Poppy.
Well, I think Scout. I think Sweep might be her middle name, because you know Sooty and Sweep. She really does remind me of Sweep. She really does. And she makes a little squeaky noise like Sweep. When she runs along in the garden, her ears swing about like Sweeps would have done.
She can't be called Poppy Sweep. Why not? It's like a surname. It's a bit common, though, isn't it? Sounds like a girl at school that Poppy Sweep. I don't know. Actually, Poppy Sweep sounds quite good fun.
Yeah, I think so.
She could be a pop star, Poppy Sweep. Right, now, Judith, it is time for our arts and literature, film and TV roundup.
Oh, God, I've been a bit busy with the puppy to do much of this. But, yeah, so now you've been busy because you've been to the Tate.
I booked weeks in advance. I booked as soon as I knew when it was going to be open.
Right.
And I've never have to do this. I've never booked for the Tate before because we're members. You just wander in and out. But I thought, no, I'm going to make a real concerted effort to do this. And because we've been members for a long time and we've got full membership, you can take up to four people. So I thought, right.
Wow.
It's going to be me, because you obviously still got to go in your bubble. So me and Jeff, Phoebe and Tristram, because yep. It was Tristram's birthday weekend as well. So I thought, well, you know, he'd love to spend some time with us, whether he likes it or not.
Indeed.
And so I got a 2:45 slot at the Tate for the Warhol exhibition. And, you know, Warhol, I adore because I think, you know, it's very easy to just go, yo, Warhol. But do you know what? It was like seeing old friends. A lot of it I had seen before, but a few bits I really hadn't. And they'd done, one of the rooms they'd done like the factory, you know, they'd covered all the walls in silver. So it was sort of a nice experience. And there was some music and some film stuff.
Oh, was there? And it was just,
had a kind of soundtrack. It kind of had that... Velvet Underground soundtracks kind of going on in the background a bit, which is just great. But what was a bit sad was around the, you know, the base of the Tate, you know, because it's sort of got that big, you know, where you go in for the Turbine Hall.
Yep, yep.
And all around there, there's usually quite a lot of restaurants open, but hardly any of them were open, Judith. Yeah, I mean, that was Gale's was shut, Carluccio's was shut, Wagamama's
was
shut.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that literally is shocking.
Yeah, that's very sort of, you know, you go with all this excitement. And it was so great seeing Phoebe and Tristram, and they'd cycled because there's a cycle superhighway from
lovely.
Where they live in New
lovely.
Cross.
Yeah.
It took them 20 minutes.
Great.
And... you know, there's all that sort of great excitement, but it was slightly dampened by, you know, the fact that a lot of places were shut. Everybody in the Tate was masked up. I mean, we're not in full lockdown or anything like that, but nothing has restarted at all. It's just, it's really, really upsetting. It really kind of, you know, I cope a lot of the time. I really do. I sort of like can put it to the back of my mind. And I think that Cornwall, you know, a lot of Cornwall felt very normal, you know, because we did quite a lot of things we usually do. We went to the National Dahlia Centre, which is just this field full of dahlias.
Oh, how lovely.
Oh, it's Judith. It's by St. Michael's Mount. It's just like, it's Ooh. One of the most perfect days in August. And it's just a massive field of dahlias. That's all it is. You don't have to pay anything to get in. You just go.
Oh, how and gawp at dahlias. Fantastic.
Yeah. I know. We just had, and we met some friends, and we just had a really lovely time. And then when you come back to London, it just kind of, again.
Yeah, because it's still here. It hasn't gone
away.
Still here. It hasn't gone away.
Anyway, so... what about you, books and telly? And all that
haven't
kind
been
of.
Doing very much, really, in terms of books. Still reading the Charlotte Wood book, which is very good, called The Weekend. Been watching a bit of telly. Have you seen any of the Miriam Margolyes documentaries?
No, I haven't, because I don't watch normal television anymore, Judith.
No, well, I don't watch a lot of it. Yes, well, I know we're a bit the same with Mad Men, although we're in the sort of shit series, I think, at the moment, which is season four. But no, I've taken to watching bits on my iPad when I can't sleep in the middle of the night. So I watched Miriam Margolyes, who is... I can't work out what I think, what my view is on this. Because in a way, I think she is fantastic in that she's this sort of vanguard of older women who just don't give a shit, do they, about what they look like. I mean, she's obviously taken that to another level.
Do you think she's being pushed to taking it to the point of caricature?
A little bit. Because, you know, so she's going around Australia. Well, obviously, because I hadn't realised that she's an Australian citizen. And she's got a house there, and I think her partner might be Australian. So it's obviously quite a nice jolly for her, and probably, you know, a sort of, I can see why she did it. But I can kind of visualise the pitch for it, because they've got her going around in a camper van with a very small loo, and, you know, so... I don't know. There's that sort of, you know. Oh, won't that be funny to see her trying to squeeze through the kind of door into the loo? I do feel that she's got to be a bit careful. That it's she's becoming a bit of a caricature. I mean, I love her. I think it's great. But
I work with her on the Vagina Monologues for weeks. We did a little tour. And I had enormous fun with her. She made me laugh a lot.
I bet she did.
Hugely. She's incredibly bright. She's very funny. And Absolutely adorable, but and quite strict as well. At the time, I was smoking, and she would get really cross with me. She'd just say to my face, "I don't know why you're paying big corporations to kill you."
Yeah, good point. No, and she—I mean, she tells it like it is, doesn't she? She's, yeah. You know, there's no mucking about.
She's a good mate. She's good. And whenever I see her, I occasionally bump into her. Not, you know, not for a long time, but outside the BBC, sometimes well, our paths will cross, and I just have this huge feeling of. Oh, it's Miriam. How wonderful. You know, yeah. She's one of the few people I don't mind hugging.
Yeah, yeah, yes. And me, of course.
Yeah, you, yeah.
But
you.
Actually, I was thinking it'd be very good to have a two-hander with Miriam Margolyes and Helen Mirren, wouldn't it? What I'd like is like the trip, the road yeah. trip with those yeah. two, actually.
With Helen Mirren still trying to be sexy and sort of...
Oh, precisely. Sort of... Oh, yes. I mean, I'm very tired with hearing about how Helen Mirren makes love every morning to her husband, aren't you? God almighty.
Yeah, yeah. Really how dull, God. You know, have you not tried yes. Twitter or knitting? Now then, I think you watched the BAFTAs as well.
Did you watch the BAFTAs? No. You probably had better things to do. Oh, it was sad. Oh, it was a shadow of its former self. It really was. It was a kind of virtual Zoomy fest with a sort of abbreviated studio. And
so there was Richard Ayoade who presented it? Was he yes. in the studio?
Yes, he was in the studio in a sort of strange velvet kind of smoking jacket type outfit. Mm. I mean, the dress code was very confused because people didn't think, you know, you thought, well, there's no audience. Should I come all frocked up or should I not? You know, that was all a bit of a mess. I mean, you just can't do those things, can you, without an audience? It's like the script, all these Zoomy kind of comedy things. It's really, really hard.
It's like going to see
to
the doctor. It doesn't work.
It
just doesn't work.
No, I mean, all of those sort of panel games and everything, when they all start to come through, as they will in the autumn, won't they, when they've been done, you know, on the Zoom as opposed to in front of a studio audience, it's going to be desperate. So, yes, it was all, I mean, you know, obviously it was over really quickly, which, you know, you kind of think, well, yeah, like they do need to edit it in future. But, yes, it was all... it was all very dispiriting. And but Idris Elba made a very, very good speech. I thought he got the special award. And he basically said, look, you know, it all has to be about sort of passing the kind of luck back behind you. It made a very gracious sort of
speech.
Well,
it's kind of putting your hand down and hauling other people up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And he said, you know, look, all I can say is when you take on a runner, you know, you need to look out for the talent. And I thought, yeah, absolutely. Good for you. So
I was pleased
it.
About Stathlet's Flats because I was on the panel and that's...
You?
I don't know where, yeah, for the scripted comedy. And I think it was time. I mean, you know, it was up against Fleabag and all that kind of thing. But I think Fleabag genuinely has had enough awards. She just doesn't need any more.
Yeah.
I mean, that might not be the best reason for not giving somebody an award, but actually, it's if you're going to do the Idris Elba, you know, handing the baton on and sort of reaching down and helping other people up, I think that it was time that somebody else got some credit. Yeah. Okay, so book-wise, for me, Jeff and I are very much enjoying David Mitchell's Utopia Avenue. I thought it would be really hard work because he's quite academic. It isn't, it's a romp. I've also started a book which is Booker nominated. And again, it's not hard. It's called Such a Fun Age by it's either Kelly Reid or Kylie Reid.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a black babysitter who's accused of kidnapping a child who she's actually employed to look after. And I've only listened to a couple of pages and I am already extremely hooked. I think it's great. I've also purchased The Weekend by Charlotte Wood because hardback and I can read it with my eyes because the font is quite large.
It's lovely and big, isn't it?
I've got that in my bath. That's my bath book.
Oh, bloody hell. It's books everywhere, isn't it, for you?
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's good. Have you been looking at the emails while you've been away that people have been sending in?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Had a few good ones. Olderwiderpod@gmail.com, by the way,
well
if you're feel moved.
Well
did you like the way I did that? It was quite slick, wasn't it?
Because I'd forgotten to write it down. I was sort of looking around places, just hoping for divine inspiration. I just couldn't think of anything. So well done. We've got Marianne and a quarter. Listens in Spain. She's 51
yes,
she and a
does,
quarter.
And she's got her own pool. So we kind of struggling to like her that much. But anyway, yeah, so she said she's been in Spain and she was listening to the episode about me farting after my soft fig phase in the lake with a lot of flatulence. And she's so she was inspired to buy her first fig. And she thinks she might give me a run for my money in her villa pool. There you go.
Imagine having a villa pool.
Caroline, 60 and a quarter, thought we sounded like demented chipmunks the other day when she was listening to us, until she realised that we were on 1.5 speed setting.
Yeah, you've got to watch that. Yeah, now, that will confuse a lot of people, knowing that a lot of our audience won't know that you can actually alter your speed setting.
Yeah.
On your Audibles and your podcasts. That's going to freak a lot of them
That's
out.
That's quite advanced stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I did basically that. If we sound normal, don't touch anything, okay?
Don't
once you start
anything.
Tampering, yeah, yeah, and then you're going to get in a mess, and then you know what you're going to do. You're going to get it back to factory settings, which means you're going to lose everything that you've ever put on your phone. So just don't muck about, okay?
The other thing that somebody put on Instagram was a chandelier made out of big knickers. Did you see that?
Well, I think this might have been inspired by your birthday big knicker bunting that you'd put
it
up for your 65th,
which is become
came
a bit
back.
Of an annual event. Yes, yeah. They did. So I put the big, because I've got this wonderful big knicker bunting, which we had at the back of the set for one of the Grumpy shows. I think we should start a big knicker bunting kind of thing. And, you know, I think there might
you
be
think
a bit of a market
we should maybe
for
have
it.
Our own Etsy account?
Maybe.
But I think the trouble is, Judith, to make it affordable, we'd probably have to use old pants. I don't think we could buy fresh knickers and make bunting out of them. So they might get some quite sorry looking knickers on the bunting.
Oh, I hadn't
They'd
thought
be
of...
like a mixed bag of bunting.
Oh, God.
Do you know, I wore a pair of knickers on holiday that I realised was so horrible that I thought, no, I'm not taking these home with me. I'm going to put them in the bin.
Yeah, you know, I've done that
fair.
Sometimes.
Yeah, it wasn't fair on the girl who was eventually going to clean the room, finding them. So I tried to stuff them into a toothpaste packet. I tried to...
Did you?
Yeah, you just think, oh, no one wants to find my knickers in this
really.
Bathroom bin, so I'm gonna hide them in this. Oh, it took a lot of poking. I was sat there for about 10 minutes.
Oh, you were bored,
like
weren't
it
you?
Was like origami. I was trying to fold them and tuck them and roll them. They were a bit too big. Basically, what I found out was my knickers are a bit too big to tuck into a
well,
large.
I could have told you that, Jenny Eclair. Yeah, perfectly bloody obvious. Well, maybe there should be a national call out amongst the older and wider gang for old. Knickers, oh, what am I saying? They'll all arrive.
Oh no, please
house,
just take
they?
That right back right now. But anyway, listen, ladies and the occasional gentleman, it's lovely to have your company.
Indeed.
Do you know what? They do, a few of them do listen. Apparently, one of our listeners, her husband said, you know, don't forget to download some podcasts for their holiday.
Oh, really?
And he said, don't forget that one where the ladies laugh. and she thinks he meant us. So, okay, next week the podcast is going to be a little bit different. And this is because Daisy is going on a much deserved holiday. And obviously, without Daisy, we cannot bring you a proper podcast.
We are nothing.
Because
without
her,
Daisy,
we are nothing. We are nothing. We are absolutely. We're just shit, basically. So, what we're going to do instead is we're going to bring you a Q&A. We've set up a sort of. Send us your questions thing, and we've got plenty to be going on with. So thank you very much indeed for that. We shall be dealing with those later and putting them up next Friday.
The gang have sent some great ones in, by
I
the
know.
Way, haven't they?
Some, really, some of them clever. Are quite deep.
They are quite deep, and yeah, they're a clever lot. So yeah, we'll look after yourselves, everybody, and yeah, okay, we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. We shall love you and leave you and look after yourselves. Ditto, Judith and Daisy, take care. And I will look forward to speaking to you very soon.
Absolutely. Toodle-pip.
Bye.